Hey guys, Brent here, and welcome to another Photo Profit podcast where we talk about the business of photography. And today my special guest is Clay Cook. He's an amazing commercial and editorial photographer from Louisville, Kentucky. Just so you know that all show notes for this show are at photoprofit.net/29. This is show number 29. We run through how to be a big fish in a small pond, meaning how do you make it and make it big in a very small market or a very small town. And Clay's done this. He's gone from picking up a camera, 2 years later becoming a full-time photographer working for himself, and 4 years later being financially secure. So how did he do it, and how did he do it so quickly? We run through his beginnings as a rock star in a band, and how that actually helped him get his photography career up and running. We also run through how to not burn out, which is quite important to me. He's got a three-step formula for how to not burn out. All of us creative people tend to do that from time to time. And then I also asked him a question of how to get started from scratch. If he was starting from scratch in a new town and he wanted to get into the industry the way he has, what would he do? And he gives us six steps that he would actually do to get going in a small town. And a lot of it actually revolves around building relationships with people. And we also run through his giving back, what he's actually doing in Africa to help out people in need in Africa. So there we go, guys. It's a pretty good podcast. I love talking to Clay. He's so full of information. I could have spoken for another hour at least. And just remember, all show notes and links are at photoprofit.net/29. Let's get into it. All right, Clay, so you wanted to talk about being a big fish in a small pond, basically how to make it in a small market or a small town. So why is this important to you?
Well, that's a good question. I think that a lot of photographers that I meet, and I meet a lot of photographers through not only my internship program, but just through the community and the photography community at large. And a lot of them really have a lot of struggles because they're in a city that's under 1 million people, or they think that they have to go to New York, or they have to go to LA, or they have to be in Chicago, or, you know, just a bigger city just overall to be a success. And it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, what I learned in my days playing music is that it's all about relationships and knowing the right people. And I think that these days the relationships are more important than ever. And then you back that up with some really good marketing and then, of course, a great product, and you've got a win-win situation. I think that people get really frustrated that they're not getting those clients, or they're, you know, just struggling, and they might be in a small market, but it is possible because I've done it. You know, I've done it in Louisville, Kentucky, of all places. And, you know, Louisville, Kentucky has just under 700,000 people. And, you know, to a city compared to like New York or LA, that is a very small city. So it can be done, you know, and I know the right steps to do it. And I think it all starts with relationships more than anything else.
Awesome. So maybe just give us a little bit more insight into your success. So when you say you've done it, what do you mean?
Okay. So when I started playing music, you know, I really learned the importance of grassroots promotion, you know, and really getting out in the field and really working the floor and working angles and really meeting people. And I think that that's one thing that a lot of people struggle with these days, is that they think they can do it all through social media. And even though social media is a very important aspect of what we do, it's not the foundation that should be built when creating a relationship or building a relationship. You got to get out there. You got to get out of your house. You got to get to the launch parties of these magazines. You got to get to the shows. You've got to get to, you know, these parties that where people are, and you got to just meet them. But you don't want to like be the person that's like shoving portfolios in their face. You know, that's where social media comes in. Like, once you meet the person, then you can follow up on social media. And once you have them on social media, then, you know, the sky's the limit with what they're going to see. So that's how I built, is just getting out of my house and getting to these parties and getting to these places and meeting people and really doing the kind of the grassroots relationship building and talking to people and being a sociable person, and then following up on social media after. And so I started there, and then I got my first publishing job that way I met somebody who had a mutual friend, and she was an editor for a magazine. And she just happened to see that I was shooting photos, and I took a job for, I think I did a free job actually initially for her. And then she liked it so much that she hired me to shoot the cover. And then other magazines saw that and just kind of snowballed from there. But I met all these people through different facets and different, just getting out of my house and going to parties and kind of doing the grassroots promotion thing by just meeting people, you know? So.
Yeah, that's, I think that's very important. Getting out there, talking to people, building relationships. And yet you didn't ask your wife to marry you the first time you met her, right?
Right.
I don't know if you've, you're married or not, but I am. And, you know, you kind of go out for a coffee first, or
right,
you go do something that's that you both enjoy, like surfing or whatever it is, or snowboarding or something. And then you build a relationship over a little while, and then you go out on a date just together. And then once things are really good, then you ask her to marry you. And that's very similar to business, a business relationship. You don't run up to someone the first time you meet them, hand them your business card and say, hey, let's do business together. You know, this is the kind of photography that I do, and you should hire me.
Right.
All you really need to do is book the next appointment from the first one. So you meet someone at a social gathering or a business get together, and really all you want to do is just book another get together, another coffee. Hey, let's have a coffee, and I want to find out more about what you do. And
right,
then you go have a coffee and you find out what they do, and then maybe they find out what you do, and then you have another one, and you know, you start catching up, and then you actually propose helping them in some way with your photography.
Right. And you know, I learned in the music business that it's a game of who you know, and that's really what it is. And so the more people that you know, the more you're going to get that clientele. So, and that's just how it is.
Totally. So I'll just jump back to that original question. When you say you've actually made it, what does that to you? What does that mean when you say you've actually you're successful in a small market? Is that a financial success, or is that work, or is that a work life balance, or is that people working for you? Is that magazine covers? What does that mean to you?
Well, that's another good question. I think that for me, success is really, I accomplished a dream that I've been wanting to accomplish my entire life, and that's being my own boss. And and I think that's really, for me, was the point of success. I think that success is, you know, it's colorful. There's different varying degrees of success, and there's different, you know, facets of success, and there's different things that you could consider success. But I think for me, it was like, you know, being a full-time photographer and not having the day job, or not have to supplement my income on a part-time basis or anything like that. And it's not a hobby. It is a job. And then going from that point to being finally financially secure with where I am.
Okay.
And that just happened probably within the last year. You know, my whole life doing the music stuff, it was a struggle. We were roughing it, you know. Playing in a band and touring all over the place. We really roughed it hardcore, and I could barely pay for my cell phone bill for a long time. And then I go to where I am now, and looking at it, it's just totally two different lives, you know? And so I'm finally at a point where I can have a studio, I can have a home, I can have, you know, a family if I really wanted to. I'm completely single, but I really could have all that stuff, and I'm at a financially secure place. And so that's another varying degree of success that I consider myself to have. So
awesome. How long did that take you from when you started your photography and you knew that you wanted to be your own boss and actually make a full-time living out of photography? How long did that take you to get to where you are now?
Well, this is probably the most shocking fact about me. It's not long. I think that I took all the attributes and all the tips and all the stuff I learned from the music business and applied it to photography, and it came very easy for me. So I went full time within 2 years of picking up a camera.
Awesome.
So it was really quick, and it just snowballed very, very quickly. And so I started shooting in 2011. And so what is that, five years ago? So, So I went full time a few years ago, and it's just been incredible since. And I've just loved it. It's been a lot of work. You know, I have to work twice as hard as the next guy who has got the day job, but it's definitely worth it, you know?
Awesome. So 2 years to be a full-time photographer from picking up a camera, and then 4 years to be financially secure. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it took a lot of hard work, but you know, I'm there, you know, and
awesome.
I love where I sit right now. I'm very comfortable where I am, and you know, this past year, I've tried to figure out, you know, like you, Brent, figuring out the work-life balance. And because I'm a workaholic, you know, I'm obsessed with my craft, if you will. And just within this past year with all the traveling and stuff, I truly feel like I'm finally finding that work balance. You know, my health is better. Everything is better about what's going on now. So, yeah, I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, that's perfect. And work-life balance is very important because I've burnt out maybe twice because I'm also a little bit of a workaholic and constantly thinking about work. And, you know, even when you're not doing it, you're thinking about it. And it's just, you've got to take a break sometimes. And that's a big tip for anyone who wants to get into the business of photography. Make sure you can actually switch off, turn off your phone, get off Facebook, go away into the wilderness where you've got no signal for a couple of days and chill out and not think about it. And get creative again and then come back and jump back into it. You know, a lot of us are constantly connected. And I think that's a problem for someone like me who's who's always interested in what's going on and, you know, checking things that you've been working on and can be a little overwhelming sometimes. Any tips that have worked for you when it comes to stopping the overwhelm and stopping the burnout?
Yeah. So I actually have written an amazing article on F-stoppers about this. I'm really proud about it. But, you know, I think that for me, a few things, because I've burned out numerous times and, you know, I haven't gotten like, you know, to the point where I'm like thinking about giving up, but I've definitely burned out where I'm like, okay, I got to pause. A few things that helped me, and one is traveling. You know, getting away from the situation or just having a new experience.
Yeah.
I think that's one. And then another one is just shutting down technology, like you said. I think that's just totally getting away from social media and getting away from the hubbub of the everyday life and just unplugging for a while definitely helps. And then also trying something new, like experimenting with new equipment, experimenting with different equipment, different gear, trying something new. For me, shooting film, that's where I stepped into shooting film a lot more when I was in a burnout mode. And I pretty much recovered from that whole creative collapse, if you will, by just shooting film for a while. And it made me slow down. It made me really think about the process and think about the photograph and rather than just trying to get an end product. And for me, shooting film really kind of got me out of that situation. So
awesome. Have you tried meditation?
I haven't, but I'd love to. Like a lot of my friends and a lot of people do meditation and yoga and stuff like that. And I'd like to try. I'd like to get into that world. Maybe eventually, you know. I'd love to though.
I started doing it, and what's funny is, you know, people say, "Look, hey Brent, you're a real type A personality because look at you. You're listening to these guided meditations at 1.3 speed. That's so that I can meditate faster." No, that's a bit of a joke. Anyway. Hey, let's jump back to how you actually did it. So how did you become a successful photographer in a small city or a small market? So obviously – relationships is number one, like building relationships with the right kind of people. If I was starting from scratch again, and I moved to a new city, and I knew that I had the skills to take the photos, and I wanted to get a business, similar business to yours, where it's advertising and editorial magazine type photography. I wanted to get into that. What are the steps you would take if you had to start from scratch again?
Well, I do a lot of this for through my internship program. And like I said earlier, I mentioned I have six interns, and they all start from pretty much, I mean, they're all pretty good photographers, but they kind of start from scratch as far as a marketing standpoint. And so if you want to be a full-time photographer, first thing you got to understand is that you're not really a photographer. You're more of a marketing person, a business person first, and then you're a photographer. So once you get in that headset or in that mindset of like, hey, I'm a business person, and I have to do business, and I have to be better marketing over photography, over being an artist, then that's when you can more than likely have a better chance of becoming a full-time photographer. But if you're starting from scratch, the first thing it starts with is really branding, you know, making sure that you have a professional brand, you have a professional product, and you have a professional portfolio to back up all this relationship building and all this social media stuff. And then you market it the right way. You don't throw it out there randomly at random times. You have a business plan. You have a projection. You have an idea of and times that you want to share things, and you time it the right way. You're patient, you know. You don't just shoot a photo and then throw it out there. You know, you wait for the right time. You wait for the perfect moment to share this stuff to your following and your fan base, and if you don't even have any of that, or on your personal stuff, just start showing them your friends all your work and things of that nature. So it does start with having a good foundation, and that foundation is a good brand, B, a good portfolio, and C, a good website. So
okay, so when it comes to portfolio, do you have a printed out portfolio that you may show someone, like sit in front of them and actually flick through a couple of your images, or is it all online?
I do. So I have two print portfolios actually, and they're from Muhlenberg, the great books, great portfolio books. And I have one that I always keep on me, or I keep at my studio. And then I have one with my agency that they send out to ad agencies, they send out to art buyers, or, you know, a mirage of different, potential clients. So that my portfolio is constantly out there. It's constantly having eyes on it, and people are looking at it for potential work. So,
all right, just really quick. So just so that I can picture this, because my brain works in images.
Okay.
What size are the images? And are they in portrait orientation? So when you open it up, you got two portrait images, or is it two landscapes?
So I have both of my books are all in landscape and landscape orientation, and they're big, they're wide.
How big?
I'd have to look at the exact dimensions.
11 by 14 or 16 by 24 size? Or?
Yeah, they're definitely in the 11 by 14 range. Okay. So,
So
they're not too huge, but they're definitely nice, visually very appealing. People, I've gotten a great response from them. So,
and how many images do you put in there?
I just did a portfolio review, and I believe there's about 30 in there. So
30 of your best stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And I've heard this from quite a few people. It's like, don't put too many images in the takeout stuff that's not your best, and only put in your best images, because people will judge you on your worst image in your portfolio, not your best.
Absolutely. You're only as good as your worst shot. So it's like, I think that I see a lot of people that have hundreds of images on their site, and I used to be that guy. You know, I learned the hard way, but I learned through many critiques that, like, you know, you can't have that many. Like, it just has to be representative of a full body of work, and what you see on your portfolio, on your web, and that's a representation of your work. And so you got to keep it very short and small, because really potential clients, you've got them for about 30 seconds and then they're done. You know, they can gather what you do in about 30 seconds or less. So they're not going to look through 200 images. They might look through 12, you know?
So. Cool. All right. So we've talked about branding, having a great portfolio, a printed portfolio that you can get in front of the right people. Also having a great website that if you send people to it, you're obviously capturing their attention. So any tips for what your website should look like, and maybe a few key elements on your website?
Yeah, so I talk a lot about this I use a brand called Smug Mug, and I love Smug Mug. But they, a website needs to be simple. At the end of the day, it's simply a gateway to your social channels. If someone's really interested in following you or being a part of your journey, if you will, then they're going to look at your social channels and then follow you there, and probably never really look at your website much anymore. So your website is simply a gateway. So it needs to be very simple. It needs to have just a portfolio, an about section. So something that's just about you, then a blog. If you need to write these days, because it's great for SEO. So you got to have a blog, and then just some contact information, you know, just keep it simple. Don't have a big contact form. Just have, you know, hey, this is how you get a hold of me. So what I always recommend is just keeping it simple. Just like if you were to send off a portfolio book, you know, it'd be very simple. Just if someone sees your book, it's a simple book, you know, and so your website, I think, should be the same way.
Okay, perfect. To get started from scratch in a new market, if you're from a small town, How do you do it? Well, you first got to think of your business first before you think of your photography. You're a business person before you're a photographer. You get your branding right with the printed portfolio, a great website. You got to know when to use social media. So timing is crucial when you actually put out images. So you don't obviously blast them all out straight after the shoot. You kind of time it, you know, maybe one every 3 days or something to get it out there and catch people at the right time when they may be looking for someone with your skills. What are the next steps to do after that? It's obviously building relationships. So how do you start building those relationships, getting networking and getting your name out there and meeting people?
Well, my philosophy has always been to get out to, launch parties. So magazines, if you have local magazines, especially like small markets, tend to have society magazines or society papers. So about parties that are going on, things of that nature. And so I always tend to try to go out to these launch parties of these magazines or look in these society papers to see, hey, what parties are going on? Where can I meet some people? And so that's really where I start building the relationships. And I don't have to do it as much anymore because I've already established a lot of these relationships. But when I was first starting out, I was going to every single party imaginable, just trying to talk to people, meeting people, going with a friend, or just hanging out or going with the right type of friend or the right kind of friend that might know somebody at this party that's going to make some introductions or things of that nature. So you start there and you build the relationship, then you follow up on social media. And once you have these people on social media, then that's really a great way to show them your work rather than slamming a portfolio down their face in person. So, and usually you never know. By that time, you've established a pretty good relationship with them in some sort of facet. Maybe it's distant, maybe it's not, but they see your work and an email or two might trickle in at that point, and then it just kind of snowballs from there. So.
Perfect. So when you mean follow up on social media, how do you do that? Do you use LinkedIn much? Because I know that's a business to business networking, or do you just use the normal channels?
I have used LinkedIn a little bit, but I use mostly how I've built everything has been through Facebook or Instagram and mostly Facebook because it's kind of that person to person situation. It's a little bit more personable, so I'm able to add a little bit more personality. And then I have, of course, my business page that I do a lot of promotion through, and most of my work is posted through my business page. And then and I'm able to like direct traffic from my personal page to that business page. And that's kind of how I've done it mostly, is through Facebook and then currently a lot through Instagram. And I've gotten many jobs through both. So.
Okay, perfect. Is any anything you see people doing wrong right now when it comes to using social media to promote their businesses or to network with other people?
Yeah, I think people tend to use it. They use it just as a sharing method rather than a content creation or content sharing method. So basically, at the end of the day, people are just sharing a bunch of stuff rather than being the originators of the content. So I think it's so important that these days that you're the original, like you are the one that's creating content rather than just sharing other people's content that you might find interesting. And so that's a huge issue that's going on in the world of social media right now, where it's just like people are lazy. They're like, oh, I want to post this, or I find this kind of remotely entertaining, I'm going to share it rather than like creating something that's really interesting and engaging on social media. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then oversharing, like people have the tendency to just, if they do a photo shoot, they'll upload 30 photos into some gallery. And there's not like a single point of like engaging, there's nothing engaging about a whole massive gallery of photos or something of that nature. People want to see something, one photo with a really engaging caption or some sort of good context with it. And that's what's going to truly get engagement on social media, I believe. So.
No, totally. I think, being a curator isn't the best way to get a following. It's good to every now and again share someone else's stuff. But I think if you're the creator, you should be sharing your stuff more than anyone else's.
So absolutely.
That's a great
tip. In the most humble way possible as well.
Yeah, look at me, I'm the best.
it's not easy sometimes to do what's called the humble brag, but it's it definitely is important. And that's as a business person and as a photographer, to really at the end of the day talk about yourself and talk about what you're doing and talk about cool things that you're doing, and you know, I think that it's definitely an important part of marketing for sure.
So how do you do the humble brag?
Well, you know, it's always something where I start out with maybe a cool thing that I'm doing or a part of, and then I follow it up with some sort of thanks or some sort of like, hey, I'm really blessed to be here, or like, I'm doing this cool stuff, but I couldn't have done it without this person.
Yeah.
Or I couldn't have done it, you know, without being a part of this, or just thanking the overall audience. So I've always followed up with some sort of thanks, you know.
That's good. Deflecting the attention off yourself and thanking other people. Yeah, that's a smart one. I like that.
And you know, it's the truth though. At the end of the day, it is really the truth. Like, I wouldn't be doing international traveling if it weren't for the amazing people that have given us grants to do so. Or I wouldn't be shooting Albert Kataffi in those chairs if it weren't for an ad agency that had forwarded me over his information. You know, there's always catalysts to everything that you do. And I think giving thanks is very important when it comes to those captions in the context of the image.
I think so. That's very important. And also, you know, just being appreciative of what you've got in life.
Absolutely.
I think is basically something that I think about a lot, you know, especially in the mornings when I get up and, you know, just kind of give thanks to that you're alive and that you're healthy and you've got a family and where you're living and that you actually got an opportunity to live the dreams that you dreamt about, live your passion, photography. And actually, I mean, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, it was a lot more difficult to do what we do right now.
Mm-hmm. I think so many people, like, I get comments all the time, like, man, you're truly living the dream. And I am, you know, I'm truly blessed to be where I am. And I think that I worked really, really hard for it. But it's so important to really give thanks and be appreciative of what you've got, because not most, you know, what 80% of people out there that want to do full-time photography cannot, or just don't have it in them. So
yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, man, you've been awesome. We're going to have to wrap it up pretty soon, but let's run through what we've actually already run through. We've run through a lot of things today.
Yeah.
It's basically how to make it in a small market, and you've obviously made it. You're financially secure now after 4 years of being a photographer. You're your own boss. Your big key was building relationships with people, you know, grassroots relationships, getting out there, going to parties, that type of thing. We've also spoken a little bit about burnout. You know, we've all hit it at one time or another, being creative. So we've got to be very aware of that. And you've given us a three-step system for how to not burn out or how to get out of burnout. And then you've also given us all the steps on how to start from scratch in a new market. And those have been great. So any final words from you, Clay, on, you know, anything that possibly I haven't covered today?
No, I just think that at the end of the day, it's important for, if you really want to do this and you really want to live out your dreams and be a full-time photographer, you got to work for it. And what I try to do with the people that I mentor, and I just try to show them the value of hard work, because we work really, really hard for it. Like I mentioned earlier, you got to work twice as hard as those people with the day job. So I would say, just if you want to do it, just get out there and really start building your brand, build your reputation, build relationships, and just really shoot a lot. And don't be afraid of failure, you know, because you build success on top of failure. So that's definitely a good.
And I think failure is actually a myth too, because you get a result. So if you take some kind of action, you get a result, and maybe it's not the result that you wanted, which some people say is failure. But I think it's, if you learn from it,
absolutely,
from that so-called failure, it's not actually failure, it's a success. You've learned from it. Okay, maybe it's cost you some money and some time, and you may be, you know, embarrassed by the result, but at least you learned something, and you won't do it again. And you have to have a couple of, you know, fallovers and trips and failures, or so-called failures, before you actually get the big success. So it's right. It's just one step in the whole process. Hey, before we run, I'm sure you'd want to let my audience know about giving back, about your work that you've done in Africa. Can you let us know about that?
Yeah, so I recently have been traveling over to Africa, both Tanzania and Ethiopia. One to Tanzania for a foundation called the Water Boys Initiative, that's headed up by Chris Long, who plays for the, now LA Rams, played previously for the St. Louis Rams, in the NFL. And it's a collaboration between Chris Long and Matthew McConaughey and all these people and all these celebrities that are really involved in the Water Boys initiative. And they're building water wells over in Tanzania where there is just no water, and except for in the ground. And it's very bad water over there currently. So they're doing great stuff over in Tanzania. And so we went over there to document, and had a grant to do so, to document Chris Long and document all these Maasai warriors and all these people building water wells. And it's a great success story. So check that out, Water Boys Initiative. And then also in Ethiopia, there's a foundation called Youth Impact that is basically giving shelter to homeless children and orphans. And if you didn't know, Ethiopia is made up of mostly teenagers. I think 60% is actually kids under the age of 18. So there is like toddlers just homeless and running around the streets a lot. And it's really crazy to see that. And Youth Impact really takes those people off the streets and gives them shelter and food until they can get a job or a college degree. So two great foundations that I've been a part of, and we've gone over there with a grant to document everything awesome that they're doing. So it's been a true honor to do so.
Awesome, man. It's so good to give back and use your skills to help more people than you could just on your own. That's right. That's amazing. Hey, if people want to find out more about you, Clay, where should they go?
So my website is Clay Cook Photo, and then Clay Cook Photo across all social media networks. That's Instagram, Periscope, Twitter, and then on Facebook is facebook.com/Clay Cook Photography.
Awesome, Clay. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thank you.
Catch you later. Bye.